Welcome everyone, and welcome our MSA Cooperative Governance and KZN. Welcome and you are encouraged. Welcome honorable members and the staff. We have three presentations. I'm going to suggest that the briefing be taken at once, on the basis of the fact that we are from Obatamba, we are from Indaga. I think we members will be able to engage, with the exception of Honorable Dennis, who was not there. We are there, and then we take them and we note and engage once on this subject to attend to other matters. Thank you very much, MEC. The meeting hand over to you.
Honourable Chairperson, thank you very much. Honourable members, the officials, the NCOP in our province, my colleagues, thank you very much again for the opportunity that we always have to interact on matters relating to our constitutional mandate, that one of the supporting and assisting municipalities to be able to deliver on their constitutional mandate in terms of the sections of the constitution. As you remember that the Executive Council of KwaZulu-Natal had resolved to intervene in the municipalities of Indaga and Lukashamba in terms of Section 139.1b of the Constitution as a result of the municipality not being able to fulfill their various obligations. As the MEC of Local Government and Traditional Affairs, we were authorized to appoint a ministerial representative for these municipalities to be able to assist the municipalities to turn around the situation that they were finding themselves in. Appointing the representative, our expectations is always that the municipality will work with those representatives because, as I say again, ours is not to interfere or to impinge on the work of the municipality, but it's to assist and support the municipality to be able to fulfill its mandate. As you would also remember that Parafine's intervention emanated from the AG report, which indicated that there were serious deficiencies in the management systems and other accounting and financial controls. The issues related to irregular expenditure, the fact that two financial years in Indaga and also on the part of Kashamba had an adverse opinion in respect of previous years. The fact that as well municipalities were experiencing serious financial problems, which was evident from the poor cash flow that were posted in their various financial statements, that is one of 208-209, and also that the municipalities had unspent grants that were reflected, which were not cash backed, that were reflected in their statements. For Indaga in particular, we had resolved that we will continue with the intervention there because of the reasons that since we have been having an assessment, you remember that when we came here, I think it was last year, we indicated the scope of the work that we were supposed to do with the Indaga. For instance, we needed to our representative to devise a turnaround strategy for the municipality, working with the municipality, of course. We also needed to ensure that we implement the resolutions of the previous representatives that were there, which were meant to assist the municipality in Dhaka. We're also expected to ensure that we implemented the financial systems as well as the controls and procedures with the municipality, the implementation of the municipal property rates, and also set out the strategies to address the financial problems that the municipality was experiencing. We're also supposed to assist the municipality in preparing the adjustment budgets and also review the administration in terms of the organogram or the structure, so as to ensure that the structure does conform to the type of the municipality or to the size of the municipality. The progress with regard to termination in Okashamba is that the verification and the assessment of the existing valuation role had been compiled and the supplementary valuation role for 2011 and 2012 was done and completed. The debt book of over 18 million in financial year of 2010-2012 was reduced to about 50%. The collection rate had increased as opposed to the previous year. There were strict adherence to the management controls within the municipality, having a total of 81 million in the cash reserves, including all cash back conditional grants totaling to 40 million, which was looking very better compared to the previous time. We were also happy that the municipality was now able to accurately report on the monthly basis on the revenue and the expenditure, the cash flow, that the council statutory administrative and functional structures had been reviewed and established in the way operational. While the municipality had actually binded themselves that they wanted to achieve in audit by 2013-2014, we are not confident because there is a number of issues that they still need to be dealing with. You would remember that in December 20, we were supposed to terminate the 2012. We were supposed to terminate the Kashamba in 2011. But with the new council having come in the same year, the new councillors having come in, they requested that we keep the ministerial representative there to allow them to learn as to what is the work that has been done by the ministerial representative, but also to assist them with the process of recruiting the senior managers that were not there at the time. That is why then we extended the intervention until June 2012. And since then, we have terminated the intervention because of the reasons that I have articulated to the committee. We are happy with the progress that has been made because the senior managers' posts have been filled. Even if not all the senior managers' posts have been filled, but I think we are happy that so far, with the municipal manager being there, and the financial manager being there, and the rest of the managers are still being recruited. The process is ongoing of recruiting the rest of the managers. Moving on to to Indaga, the situation in Indaga is not a happy one. You would remember that prior to the previous elections, municipal elections, the person that was the mayor there had, or the manager, the executive committee, gave our representative a difficulty in terms of cooperation. But also at that time, there was no senior managers who were able to work with our representative. In the new council, we were able to take one of the military representatives and put him there, who had assisted us in turning the previous municipality, for instance, in Umhlabeyalingana. I will not say that the cooperation is not at its best, even with that new representative that is there. There is a new municipal manager in place, and they are in the process of employing the senior managers to be able to deal with some of the deficiencies that have been identified. The internal auditor was effective but has been stifled due to the failure by managers to effect or implement the recommendations. It appears that indeed the municipal leadership is still in a very poor state because they are not able on their own to deal with the issues without the interference of the councillors. According to our representative as well, the council's oversight and the performance management and reporting remains a concern, and there's still a lot of work that's still to be done with regards to these issues. Despite some improvement, it's been clear that there are still serious challenges which have been confirmed by our representative. And these are further illustrated as follows. In the year that ended in June 2011, the municipality had incurred an unauthorized expenditure of 4.6 million, irregular expenditure of 22.5 million, totaling to 27.2 million. In January, by January 2012, its media review established a number of irregular, unauthorized and fruitless expenditures, which were reported to council as part of the media review report. A copy of that report was forwarded to the department as part of monthly reporting requirement. The representative also advised that the acting municipal manager did not report the said expenditure in terms of section 62 of the MFMA, and for general failure of the system of section 32.4 of the MFMA, as required that they should report these to the MEC responsible in the province as well as to the Auditor General. The representative also reported that such irregular expenditures have not been reported to the MEC as I indicate in the AG. There have also been various irregular financial activities resulting in an increased unauthorized and fruitless expenditure. As I indicated that this has been in defiance to the representative that is there and to the confirmation that we had with the municipality that we were going to cooperate with the representative in my meeting with them, I think 3 months ago. The administrative leadership of the municipality is still very unstable with key senior positions of CFO and the Director of Technical Services having not been filled. The council is still not able to, you know, effect its political oversight over the administration to show that there is financial prudence and good governance as we indicated above. It is for these reasons that we felt that it was still necessary that we continue with the intervention in the municipality of Indak. If we were to move Chairperson to Mtubatuba. In Mtubatuba, we have experienced quite a number of challenges. Maybe we might need to highlight that what we have been experiencing in the province is that 18 of the out of 61 municipalities are governed with cooperation between political parties. In the main, like in Daga and Ukhahlamba, there are cooperation between the ANC and the NFP. Mtubatuba is the same, it is a cooperation between the NFP and the IP in the ANC. What has been happening is that it creates a lot of instability, because now and again each and every political party will be wanting to outdo the other one, one way or the other, by forging alliance with one or across. Now, our assessment that made us to believe that Mtubatuba was subject to what needed to be put under Section 139. One is that at the beginning of last year, the municipality decided to employ a municipal manager without following proper procedures. And we quitted with the municipality, and we did not agree, and the matter ended up in court, unfortunately. Part of our query was that in terms of the amendment to the Act, is that a municipality should advise the MEC of local government if they are affecting their employment, that all the procedures and processes that they followed, but also that the candidate that is being employed qualifies in terms of the procedures that laid out. That's where the problem started with Mtubatuba. But we tried to deal with the matter in terms of the intergovernmental relations, which meant that we said to the municipality, it is still possible that they rectify all the things that they had not done correctly, in that the appointment had to be done by going to the executive, and the executive must make a recommendation to council, and then council must then agree to the employment of the municipal manager. But following from the assessment that we made, it was that of the going concern that the municipality had incurred a deficit over the last 2 years. As of June 2011, they had incurred a net deficit of 12.7 million. And they also had an irregular expenditure, which was a result of the not following the municipal supply chain management regulation, that the management expenditure was not in accordance with Section 65.2E of the MFMA, as payments totaling 2.5 million were not paid within the stipulated time, 30 days of the receipt of invoice. That there were awards that were made to providers whose directors and principal shareholders are persons in the service of the state institutions, which was in contravention to SCM regulations. The annual reports of the municipality did not comply with Section 121 of the MFMA. There were also problems that we picked up on governance issues that were reported by the Auditor General, in that the Audit Committee, although in place for the year 2012, was not effective as required by Section 32 of the MFMA. That internal audit did not review all the quarterly reports and final performance reports to ensure that they were in compliance with the relevant clause and regulations. That management did not ensure that the audit committee promoted accountability and service delivery through evaluation and monitoring of responses to risks and providing oversight of the effectiveness of the internal controls. And an analysis of the audited annual financial statement by the department also highlighted the deficiencies that the way there was insufficient cash that existed to finance the operational requirements of the municipality, that the poor debt and credit control management, in that the way old debt that was not being managed, which should have been written off instead of those in being cured every year. If you also look at the provincial treasurer's assessment, it confirmed some of the concerns that we had already picked up when we were interacting with the municipality, that the municipality had not been able to generate a sufficient income to cover operating expenditure of the past 3 years. That employee-related costs, excluding remuneration of councillors, increased by 22% in 2010-11, which is really perceived to be unreasonable in comparison to some recommendations that were made within the SALGA bargaining on the wage increase. And a further 52% increase had been budgeted for in 2011, which did not appear to be reasonable. And we were told that this was done deliberately, where the new municipal manager was not appointed in terms of procedures, had come and created a parallel structure, leaving the people who are already there, but creating another structure which was not in line with the kind and the size of the municipality as Mtubatuba. It was also reported, even from the assessment, that more than 30 days old debt, and with 91% sitting at 91 days and more, which was indicative of the ineffective revenue collection, which was worsening the cash flow in the municipality. The municipality had also overspent in the 2010-2011 infrastructure grants by 2.1 million and had utilized the unspent portion of 2.2 from prior period of funds of the expenditure. There were quite a number of issues, as you could see from the list that we have listed, you know, point by point, even including the material discrepancies between the Section 71 report figures for 2010-11 financial year and the figures that were reflected in the annual financial statement for 2010-2011. You see there for instance, the Section 71 figures on the operating revenue showed 23.6 million and the annual financial statement figures were showing 59.8 million with the discrepancies of 16.2 million which could not be accounted. Again, on the operating expenditure, the 60 million and the 72.5 million under capital, again, there were discrepancies of about 4.5 million on the Section 71 report.
Sorry, Jamil, I don't have the document where anything is reading from.
Oh, you don't have? I'm reading from my notes. It's
not here. The last part of the reading is not here.
The officials are saying you do have the report, honorable members, if I sent. Yes, that's the document, honorable members. Okay, we do have extra copies. It's fine, you can have
No, Chair. The MEC is true that she has distributed this document, but she's adding some other words.
I'm not reading word by word, because I'm not talking.
That's the difference.
Which is not illegal. Chair, I'm not saying it is illegal. I'm just saying you would like to follow with the MEC. That's all I'm saying.
I've told it to honorable group. It's not illegal.
Okay.
point of order. Everybody is illegal. I'm expressing it. Oh, you are expressing it. So you thought it's illegal. I thought it was. Oh.
Okay. Thank you, Chair. I would conclude, Chair. I do apologize that perhaps I'm just talking to the court. I'm not talking point by point, because otherwise you'll be bored. You might as well read it yourself if I had to read it point by point. But the long and short of the issues, honourable members, is that we seriously looked at the Duba Duba situation, and we said for the past 2 years, Duba Duba has been having serious problems in governance and financial issues. But also, we then said, okay, fine, the new council came in last year, is it last year, 2011,
yes.
The new municipalities. And then we said, if the new council then came in, did they make a difference in terms of all the issues that were problematic in the municipality? Because we said, fine, it's not the sins of the new council that there were very wrong things that were done before. But in looking at that situation and the situation from 2011 to date, we were convinced that if we do not act, the municipality will even be in the worst of situation within months of us not intervening. Normally, real intervention is the last resort. I would say this again to you, that we always believe that there are people that are employed to do their work and they get paid, and they should do their work. We also believe that councillors are being paid to be councillors and do the oversight work over the administration, and they should be doing their work. Ours is to really support them. But where we see that if we do not intervene ourselves, we would have failed in our executive obligations in support of municipality. Therefore, as a last resort, we then tend to intervene. But also before our intervention, for instance, in Duba Duba, we went through Section 137 of the MFMA, what you call a discretionary intervention, where we gave municipality financial aspect and governance aspect, which were supposed to then assist the municipality in correcting some of the things that they needed to correct as a municipality. Even with that help, including the provincial treasury, went there to assist, but there was no cooperation, particularly from the council side. There was no appreciation of the fact that the municipality is in a very difficult situation, which was already showing signs of compromising service delivery to communities, in that there were times when the municipality would fail or would not be able to pay in time its obligations of water and electricity. But also there were a lot of problems around water shortages, which was a result really of poor governance from the side of officials, but also the oversight from the side of the councillors. This, with all these issues that I've outlined, really then made us to believe that we will reach a state of no return if we do not intervene in Duba Duba. We then intervened and requested the Executive Council in the province of KwaZulu-Natal to intervene in terms of Section 139.1b, and we have put the ministerial representative to assist the municipality to devise a turnaround strategy. I must say that we are still experiencing challenges in that. There is no cooperation from some of the political parties, and unfortunately we have to do the work despite the unhappiness of some political party. So we do have now the intervention that we have started in Duba Duba, and ours really is to continue to support the municipality, but also provide guidance and advice in terms of the council decisions that should be made there. So we have a ministerial representative plus the team from the treasury in the province who are presently then assisting the municipality to devise a tender and strategy, but also help in cleaning up the administration. You might have heard, some of you, that the municipal manager is the president of the SRC of a university in Zululand, and he is also studying there at the Zululand University, which was one of the allegations that we were wanting municipality to give us clarities on, in that people were complaining that he is never in the office. That is why there were such poor governance and administration in the municipality. We've also, received reports that the CFO had resigned in the municipality, and the situation really is not the one that we are proud of. It's something that we are working with, and we are hoping that despite all these challenges, we will be able to work and put our people first, in that our priority is to ensure that communities do not suffer because of the instability that presently exists in these municipalities. Thanks.
Thanks very much, MEC, for getting through the 3-1 stuff. Can I allow members to engage clarity, recommendation? The plus your members. Honorable Dennis, Matthew.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Thank you, the MEC, for the report. I just want clarity on the regulator's place in the Tuba-Tuba. Is there a time period, and how regular is that intervention? Is it daily, weekly, and what is the expectations in terms of the time frame that we need some results? Thank you.
No, thank you, Chair. Chair, the first area in as far as Okasama is concerned, I wanted us to endorse the recommendation by the province that of the termination of the intervention. Secondly, Chair, in as far as Ndaka is concerned, maybe to get clarity as to until when this intervention must proceed. Thirdly, Chair, that in as far as Mutubatuba is concerned, that we endorse the intervention, but then have regular briefings or information, maybe a report sent to us, so that we are able to can monitor the situation around the specific area.
Thank you,
Chair.
Thank you, Honorable.
Thank you very much, and thank you for the presentation. Mine is on in Dhaka. I just want clarity. Why there has been continuous extension of the intervention in Ndaka? That's one. The second one, what was the contract signed between the department and the administration? And can the MEC, through you, give the committee a copy of that contract at one time between the department and the administrator? Thank you very much.
Now, thank you. Let me thank the MEC for this brief report and explanation. My question to the MEC is then, do you have any time frames concerning this municipalities like the Matubaduba and Ndaka that has been extended? And you know the problems and the issues. Is there any time frame? And do you have a plan that you say you monitor and seeing how far they are of certain things that need to be implemented and all that. Please, thank you.
Thank you very much. I think I will be strict with procedure. And I will allow members to question first, and if they follow up, I will come to you. I will allow the ABC to keep answering now. If they follow us, honorable Matilda, if they follow us, you will come to me. I'll come for you to make a follow up. Let us be professional.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. How regular is the intervention? The intervention is full-time, Honourable Member, in Duba. What we normally do, I think this applies to the application as well, is that we have a monthly report that we received from the representatives that we send there. To can be able to make an assessment whether we're moving forward or we're moving backwards. But normally we have monthly, but in 3 months, that we usually take then a holistic kind of report to see has there been a change in those 3 months. Are we going forward or we moving backward? The expectation is that we will turn the situation around. Mtuatuba is one of those municipalities with huge potential, being really a very good tourism destination in KwaZulu-Natal, having under it is Mangalisa Wetlands at St. Lucia, those areas. It is a small municipality, but it's got very good tax base. It's got very good ratepayers associations as well, very active. Unfortunately, with that oversight, but also with the history of politicization of the administration, I think it still needs to wean itself off that kind of a practice. Because in many times where the administration is politicized, the administrators then tend to hide behind the political flag for inefficiencies and all the practices that are not in the interest of good governance. So we have that challenge in Tubatuba. In Indaga, how long the intervention is going to be? Well, Indaga, just like Kutashana, they were in the same group. When we terminated, we thought that when we were terminating, Kutashana and Indaga was also going to be in the same pack. But unfortunately, they were not in that pack. They were left behind because things just did not move. We've changed 3 representatives there, if I'm not mistaken. The last one, I think it was Mr. Sutcliffe, I think, or Martin, Bruce, and he considered that he is failing. He can't deal with the slot. It's just too much. There was mutual agreement between himself and the people there to say, if I'm being honest to this government, I'm not getting cooperation, I'm not doing my work, I'd rather move out. That is why we thought we'd bring in the like of the one we brought now, who is kind of, he's not afraid to rattle the boat, as it were, to kick dust in the... Yeah, very decisive and very up to the book, everything. Things are happening, but he's not getting 100%. As a result of that, we're now compiling a list of things that we have to institute even legal civil recoveries in terms of irregular decisions that have been taken in his presence. He has written down everything blow by blow. We are preparing those papers. How long can it drag on with Indaga intervention? We've given them until December this year when I met with them 2 months ago to say, look, we're not getting good feedback. And in December, we'll all have to sit down and take stock and say, where do we go from here? Again, we had a situation where in Indaga, we said the new council came in this last year. And we said, we'll give you 6 months after taking office to see how you're progressing. We gave them that time. After that 6 months, we, together with them, said, look, you're not there yet. But also with the problem that the administrator was not also getting cooperation, we then had to say, we'll give you more time. We are a year now in the new municipal, in the new council, and we think we will then see in December what is going on. But if things look at the moment, it doesn't look like in December we will terminate. That is why then the continuous intervention. Unfortunately, it would be irresponsible of us to just dump it and, you know, and move away. We have spoken about the section 191(c), but we have, again, there we have to be cautious. We have to weigh those options very seriously, whether they will yield any results or they would even come back worse off if we were to disband the municipality. It's not an easy exercise. It is a last resort. But also, you've got to take into cognizance the political environment, that whatever you do would have implications, one way or the other. You've got to calculate all the risks in whatever decision that you take. So it's something that I can't sit at here and say, yeah, this is what's going to happen tomorrow. I've got to do carefully calculated assessment. All of us have got to agree. With the municipality, with the management, we have to agree that yes, we are making progress, or no, we are not making progress. We could make the contract available to the honorable members. Whether we have a master plan, yes. When we come with the intervention, we normally, as you would see, I don't know whether it's in your report, we'll have the terms of reference of the intervention. And from the terms of reference, that's where we derive our monthly reporting to say, have we done this, have we done this, have we done this. And if we are to say the intervention continue or doesn't continue, we base that on our terms of reference, on the plan of action that we devise when we are coming in municipality. We also, in many instances, have what we call even the recovery plan. That gets accompanied by clear financials and the flow, including in many instances you'll find that municipalities does not even have, you know, a programs in place, the structures in place, control measures in place. So all those things, until we've done those policies, good monitoring plan, but also the exit plan, because before we move out as well, we devise what we call the exit plan, exit strategy, to say, if we are to move out, what do we then put in place? And we normally do that in two ways. Sometimes we just move out, or sometimes we move out and we leave what we call the 139(1A), which gives instructions to say, you shall do 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. So we try by all means to really make sure that whatever we do is sustainable, whatever we do has got very clear follow-up and the time frames in terms of what we want to see being achieved by a municipality and intervention.
I now allow members to, before we lose the story, because we have follow-ups, just to quickly come with follow-ups and you'll come with general questions. I've seen two members who've spoken is Matila and Kunda and Ebru.
Thank you, Chair.
Let Matila start, Kunda, Ebru.
No, thank you, Chair. We went to Indak. We saw what happened there. The arrogance of management there, the non-cooperation that we did not get from management and councillors there. That was the situation when we were there. But we also saw the political stability that was there at Indak. Now, I'm saying in terms of the report we are getting from province, it then confirms what we experienced there. And it also tells us that possibly there are no major changes in as far as what we experienced then and now. I'm going to request, Chair, that possibly we take a second visit to Indak so that we then see from what we understood then up to now, you know, and we'll be able to can then take a correct decision as this particular committee as to how do we assist the province to move forward, how do we then look at the intervention itself then. That would be my proposal, Chair.
My question is partly covered by Honourable Matila. Just one question to the MEC now. I've listened, I heard what the MEC said concerning this Matibatuwa and Indaga. Then my question will be, as I'm asking how long it take, aren't there a way as a province with this committee can get those people together, because service delivery is key to the government. And if certain individuals within the council would help service delivery or in the way how they're working, the way how they responded, how then will we go forward if we having such problems in the municipality?
Thank you, Chair. For us to assist and to know the problem, the MEC must also be open to us and tell us. You see, the MEC is saying the situation there it's a political thing and whatever. MEC must tell us who is in control of that thing. You see, Chairperson, I would say disband this municipality. You can't have nurse politics up until when? Gula is saying it's the people on the ground that is suffering, and it's the truth. Now we are nursing and nursing up until when? Dr. Matila is saying we must go there. I disagree. The MEC must disband that thing. December, she has given up until December. Disband that place and let's continue. Put an administrator in. Thank you.
Honorable member must be constitutional as a deputy on this matter to say that there are certain things that must be done by executive authority and there are certain things that must be done by parliament. Let's note that what we need to be highly constitutional. But I'm still worried because there are some recommendations that members are not speaking to. The endorsement, no one spoke to that. It's just an endorsement of a intervention to work over. Huh? Yeah, ma'am, they never want to speak to that. So that's certain decision I'm taking. And they do another decision that I propose out there. And we finish the story. Can we do we agree as a committee that the two interests better? Okay, yes? Thank you very much.
In fact, I was just seconding the endorsement. Thank you.
I don't believe that's an objection. So, can we still further engage the question of the visit? Bloom says no, but I suggest visit. But in the context of oversight, the committee was whether they survive the December or they don't survive, we still have an obligation to visit all more municipalities. So we shouldn't rule out the total no visit on our problem.
No, you see, even the time, even if we decide to visit that, we can't do it in this year. We can't do it. It will be next year.
Not that on our problem, which
Chair, I think the honourable member saying the MEC must be honest. I thought I was being honest when I told you you wanted to know who the governing party is. The governing party there is NSP. You see, as I was saying, whatever decision that we're going to take eventually, that we're going to be taking to the Executive Council ourselves, it has to be calculated. Because the last thing you want is that you disband that council. People go, first of all, that's very expensive exercise, eh? Because you must have elections. You must have elections within 3 months. Parties must go and campaign. The very same people come back, like it happened last time. The very same problems, problematic ones. They come back worse than you would have. But I'm just trying to demonstrate, remember, is that whatever decision, it's one thing saying that disband. It would be nice to just think you get rid of the problem. But for us, it's not about disbanding, it's not about intolerance, it's about how do we assist this institution to move and service delivery, not to a compromise. And I think remember I was talking about that at the center of our focus always is how do we ensure that at least people don't suffer because of these challenges that we are facing. And we are doing that. We have programs and projects that the provincial government is delivering there, just to make sure that at least there is activities that are going on. Ourselves, we have projects on water, we have problems on sanitation and problems housing, just to keep that part of the community. That's why sometimes people might think that the municipality is doing okay when it's not doing okay, because at this level we just want people to be comfortable, to know that, you know, at least they still get whatever minimal service that they are getting.
Can we avoid to be under ideological? We will tell the other members of the GIT to speak ideology authority.
Thanks for listening. But the truth of the matter, honourable members, is that all of us, we're trying to be patient. There is a slight movement in that before, you remember maybe even during your visit, there was not a single senior manager in place. At least now there is a municipal manager in place, although he's one of the person who used to be corporate services, who used to be a manager there. He's now a municipal manager. So there is senior managers in place. At least there is that structure now that is working with those representatives to make sure that whatever decision, whatever things are happening. The weakness, though, is still on the councillor's side. That the councillors, even other political parties other than the NSP, which is the governing, are not able to accept themselves so that correct decisions are taken. Because the key is that when the representative come and say there are these irregular expenditure, there is those wrong things, there is those councillors, you take a decision to suspend that or take a decision to do those or to stop that transaction or to do this. If the councillors are not able to say yes, then we are stuck. So we are now working on getting councillors to appreciate that. But what we also said is that in our civil recovery, if it is found that those irregular expenditure are as a result of a council decision, the councillors individually will also be held liable for having taken those decisions. So we are really trying to strengthen now to be more aggressive even in our approach without doing this and seem to be politicizing or to be politicking about the matters. And the last thing we want really is for anybody to turn this to be a political football and then, you know, stopping really the work that we are trying to do there in that municipality.
Yeah. No, Chair, I think the point that as members, unfortunately not all of us want to induct. Because when the intervention took place, the ILP was the driver there. Now we have another driver. Now residents there, remember the ratepayers associations actually initiated to us that we withhold their payments for services there if council does not act. But unfortunately, councillors wanted me to have referees at here at the same time. And that's what we are still observing. You see. Now, the reason why I said earlier, maybe it will be important for us to go back, because information that comes from that community there is very vital and important, will then give us an idea as to where they are at this point in time. And then that will be the situation. I'm just saying, that is the reality of the matter. And it is important that all of us, as members, when we go, but I'm not saying now, maybe let's wait for that, because we can go in January or February, you see, and assess the situation. Because that will then assist us to take the necessary decisions as to how do we assist province to deal with that specific matter. Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much. Member satisfied, can we go on?
Yes, sir. I have expressed my...
We will be at the political level first.
Yes.
They want
to recruit that.
All right, member, there is something technically that I would want to advise. We are endorsing that Mutuwa must be as recommended by the NEC. Technically, we must first also work. It's a principle document, there's no problem. To meet within our 28 days of the constitutional requirement. We go there, we have information from the MEC, we need information from there, then we make a determination within those days of 1-8, unless if we wait. Chair, through your advice, I'm not sure what is the 180 days. You know, so that we take a decision to say whether we go this year or we can go next year. Yeah. That you need to advise on. I think let's leave it to management. I'm provoking it. No, I wrote the principal chief.
No, let me also understand. You are saying that before we take that decision, we must first go there. Is that the thing?
That is the practice.
Yeah. So we must not do illegal things. We to endorse the thing, but you are saying we must let go.
I'm not opposing to the principle. I'm not opposing to that, but a committee has an obligation within 180 days to approve or disapprove, but the practice that we usually go and hear others. You
know? I wanted to say here that I think I agree with the honourable member said, in terms of the constitution, we have to, and the committees must endorse within 180 days. You don't have any obligations to go there. But you're correct here that in part of your oversight is that you also feel, you know, as honourable members were saying, just to feel what's going on there. So there's no problem in endorsing now fully, and then perhaps in your time next year, then you can pay by visit. What I just want to say, a small issue, is that what has been happening there, honourable members, is that, like in Dakar, it was the IAPS that was there, but the councillors that were IAP moved to the NFP, and that's the same people that are back. Mtuba, it was the IFP that was in control. Now, the ANC that came back with the NFP, the same ones. So that is why it becomes, although the ANC is in control, but it's at the mercy of these ones, because you could say that what is happening, just in healthy chair, that we have things that went wrong there in that municipality while it was in the IFP hands. Now we're trying to correct and prosecute people or investigate. Now you have deputies who are NFP now, where IFP, part of those wrong things, who are now blocking these ones from moving, because if they move, they need to hit them. And it's like, so it's a very, very thin line to tread, because you keep on being accused, you hear maybe, that no, it's political intervention. Now we say, how do you say it's a political, the ANC that is in government, and I'm intervening in the ANC government. why the politica? Why should it worry? Why is it worrying these ones? Why is it not worrying the ANC? Because it's the ANC that should be worried that why you're intervening. Now, not the ANC is crying. It's these ones who are crying foul and you know, trying to create all sort of noise and mobilize communities to be against this intervention because it's political. So you have those dynamics in both Nduba and in Daga that you're trying to, you know, rock the boat of it.
So we are agreeing that the intervention is involved, that the committee must have taken oversight of it, just like any other things that we have done, so that we're able to debate both from the MEC's point of view and from the whole of the MEC as we go to the House. I agree with that.
One point here.
Yeah.
It's quite clear that Honorable Louis is not winning constituency. Quite clear.
Yeah. You are provoking a mamba now. But the other issue, remember, I think it's a matter of concern. This FRCMM, maybe the MEC must look into that. I don't know at which level, maybe like whatever, but it's not a health discussion. So when FRCMM moves to available, but I'm not sure. But I don't have an answer, but
We are investigating it. As a result, in fact, the very same one, there were SRC elections like 2 weeks ago, and he brought in hooligans to come steal the ballot boxes, and they ran away with them. Just doesn't get any better.
No, not yet. Yeah, maybe the investigations must go ahead or whatever. No? Our visit there might assist this particular problem. Because we will then come up with recommendations as to how to deal with that particular situation.
Done? Unless if there is anything that is made. Do we have coke in the end? Oh, are we wrong?
No. It's a very good question. It's a solid question. If coke was there, there could have been peace. Now it's a lot of mainly mood there. We're going to coke.
Let's adjourn and thank MEC for your honorary meeting.
You made us